Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the stories that our reporters have been covering right across the UK. We're trying to focus on the most talkable issues, often more fun or quirky stories, and give them more time than we can usually fit into our hourly news bulletins. But first, we do start with a tragic story that has topped news bulletins today, and tributes have been paid to Liverpool footballer Diogo Jota. Spanish authorities say he was killed, along with his brother Andre Silva, when their car came off a road in Spain. Our reporter Harry Booth has spent the day with fans at Anfield.
Anfield's become a focal point for tributes today as the city and the wider footballing world remembers Diogo Jota. Beloved fans there singing his own chant. Spanish police have confirmed the death of the 28-year-old who was killed alongside his brother in a car crash early this morning. The tragedy struck just over a week after Jota married his long-term partner and leaves behind his three young children. Former Reds boss Jurgen Klopp's led tributes saying he's heartbroken, and the grass opposite the Hillsborough Memorial is now covered with tributes from fans.
I just sat there and cried my eyes out, and it was devastating.
So devastating. I mean, it's not about football. He's just been married, young kids.
He was integral to this team, to this club, to this squad. And he'll never, ever be forgotten. He'll forever be a Red.
There have been similar scenes outside the Molyneux Stadium where Jota spent 3 years. Our reporter Alice Smith is there.
The Billy Wright statue is covered in flowers and messages from supporters who are praising his contribution to the West Midlands side. He made 130 appearances for Wolves between 2017 and 2020 and has been described as adored and cherished by the club, who've called the impact he had huge.
Well, tributes are also being paid across the globe, with Portugal captain Cristiano Ronaldo saying he wishes Diogo's family all the strength in the world. And it's not just the footballing world that's coming together, but the wider sporting world too, with Wimbledon players this afternoon donning a black armband as a tribute. A moment's silence was also held ahead of tonight's Women's Euros clash between Belgium and Italy, and another will be held before Spain go up against Portugal at 8.
Well, Wolves fans have also been paying their respects today as Diogo made more than 130 appearances for the West Midlands club between 2017 and 2020. Our reporter Alice Smith has been speaking to fans who've paid their respects in person.
A sea of gold flowers, scarves and shirts has been growing outside the stadium today as fans continue to come and pay their respects to Diogo Jota. They've been gathering here to share their shock at the news and their favourite memories of him as a player. And just from speaking to people, it's clear he meant so much to this club.
Absolutely amazing player. Yeah, I thought we might have got him back one day.
We just wanted to pay our respects to the family. The family's lost two sons.
He was just such a bright spark, and he really lifted everybody with joy and love.
We also caught up with Dave Atsopardi, host of the Talking Wolves podcast, to hear his reaction.
Diogo is one of the best players that Wolves have had in the modern era, to be completely honest. He was a player that could grab games by the scruff of the neck. Wasn't the tallest, but was just so powerful and strong on the ball, fantastic in the air. And some of my favourite moments as a Wolves fan have included Diogo Jota.
Another fan I spoke to here at Molyneux, Manny Singh Kang, told me Diogo was part of a team who brought a feel-good factor to the city.
Those years were the most special. It was a family atmosphere. It was more than football, you know, all the fans brought into what they did. They connected with people in the streets, very humble people.
In a statement, the club said Diogo was adored by fans, loved by his teammates and cherished by everyone who worked with him here. They say their hearts go out to the loved ones of Diogo and his brother Andre, who also died in the crash.
Well, next, and a London mother's calling for changes to the law around driving licences after her daughter was killed in a drink-driving crash. Lily Clack was a passenger of a car that crashed in the early hours of Christmas Day 2021. Debbie Clack met with our reporter, Claire Bode.
On Christmas Eve 2021, Debbie Clack waved her daughter Lily off as she went to go celebrate the holiday with friends.
So this Christmas, Lily had managed to get two tickets for Winter Wonderland and begged me to let her go. At around 1 o'clock, I looked at my texts and Lily still wasn't in. So I texted her, "You're a naughty girl." you better get up in the morning. Then I'd obviously gone back to sleep and there was a ring on the doorbell. So I shot up and I thought it was Lil. So as I ran down the stairs, I shouted the keys in the flower pot and there was no answer back. But I could see two people standing at my door. When I opened the front door, it was two police officers and they just said, "Are you the mother?" And that's just how they said it. "Are you the mother of Lily Clack?" And I was just like, "Yeah, please tell me she's all right." And they said, "Lily's been involved in a car accident and you need to come to the hospital." I remember driving to the hospital praying. Just remember saying the Lord's Prayer, "Please let Lily be all right. Please let Lily be all right."
Lily had been a passenger in a car driven by Charlie Hilton. Hilton offered to give Lily a lift home from a bar 3 minutes away from her house. Unknown to Lily, Hilton had been drinking. On that journey, he ended up in a police chase and crashed the car into a tree.
And a doctor came in and he held my hand and he said, "Lily's been involved in a car crash and we are doing everything we can, but you need to prepare yourself for the worst." And I was just like, no, you can't. You just, no. On the 26th, they said to me that Lily's brain, there was no brain activity. It was never going to get better. And as they did the first test, Lily's lungs collapsed and they had to stop what they were doing. They had to let her lungs open again. And then when they did the test again, her lungs collapsed again. The doctor said, "Lily's very, very poorly and her little body is giving up on her. So we're not going to turn the machine off because she's going to pass away peacefully on her own." That was Lily just saying, "Mum, you don't have to make this decision. I'm going to do it for you."
Debbie is now campaigning to change the law around driving licenses, which includes the immediate suspension of a driving license at the moment of arrest when someone is arrested for causing death by dangerous driving. It's after Debbie discovered Charlie Hilton was still driving in the months before his court case.
The boy that had killed Lily was still driving, and we thought that was illegally. So when we contacted the police and we told them that the boy was still driving, the police actually came back and said to us, "There's no reason why he couldn't be driving. It's not against the law. He's not breaking the law." As a family, to know that he's still driving, he could potentially do this again to another family while we're waiting to go to court, we was disgusted. We was absolutely disgusted. So Lily's law potentially is, firstly, your driving license is suspended the day of the crash. Then if you're found guilty of death by dangerous driving, your license is taken away forever. You never get a second chance to do this again. Driving is a privilege, and you know, you lose that privilege the minute you kill somebody due to death by dangerous driving.
The petition calling for Lily's law now has over 40,000 signatures. Charlie Hilton was jailed for over 10 years for causing Lily's death.
Well, another one that's been in news headlines today, and the Prime Minister has been setting out his plans for the NHS in England. However, there's concerns the government's 10-year plan for the NHS will make it harder for whistleblowers or patients to report concerns. It's getting rid of the independent health watch groups. Our chief reporter Andrew Kay has more on this.
Health watches are independent groups with the power to investigate anything they wish in their local areas, even if just following a passing conversation.
And I remember one example of a lady that just walked into the office in Paignton and said, "My services aren't up to scratch." Some of the parts of the NHS weren't aware that this was a problem.
That's Dr. Kevin Dixon, who chairs the Health Watch here in Devon, and tells me they don't hold back when it comes to choosing the subjects.
Everything from dental care to accident and emergency services, to social care, into care homes, into GP surgeries. Because we had statutory duties, we would then take those experiences and those recommendations and actually go back to decision makers.
In today's 10-year plan, the work of health watches will now be brought in closer and sit under other parts of the NHS, and councils will investigate their own social care functions.
I think there's real dangers that we're not opening up the system to encourage whistleblowers.
Dr. Dixon believes having a less formal system has encouraged more people to come forward and has also saved money in the long run.
You know, it's otherwise people go to solicitors and they spend years trying to sort through this whole, you know, potential bureaucracy.
Today, defending the changes, the government said it still expects robust mechanisms under the new systems to gather patient feedback.
And now, I couldn't leave you without a trip to the red carpet, could I? And the new Superman movie is on its way. I've seen the trailer and it looks really good. It looks like old school Superman to me. Well, our showbiz reporter Olivia Marks caught up with the new Superman himself, David Corenswet, on the red carpet in London last night.
David, you are the perfect Superman.
Oh, stop.
Who had the best reaction to seeing you in the suit for the first time?
There were a lot of good reactions. I got to meet the probably 4 or 5 year old son of one of our crew members. He showed up dressed in his Superman outfit, And I walked out of my trailer to say hi and take some pictures with him. And he was very brave because I think he was a little nervous. And then when I asked him who his favorite superhero was, he said Iron Man. So we took a picture in the Superman suits doing the Iron Man pose.
I feel like the possibilities within the DC universe are endless. Which other character would you love your Superman to come across in the future?
I think like a Nightwing character, like one of Batman's proteges, I think would be really cool because Superman has good dad energy. I'd like to see his uncle energy.
I want to see that. Big uncle energy.
We'll make it happen, you and me together.
I will write the script.
Great.
James is going to hire me.
And somebody else will play Superman probably. Great. Thank you so much.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our website. And don't forget to come back here tomorrow too. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app for a new episode of Behind the Headlines.